So with no further ado, I will introduce Nelke, who is going to be speaking to us about norm setting and standards in society. And any diversion from that?
Many diversion from that.
That'll be good. Go for it. Thank you.
So, hi everyone. My name is Nelke. I'm a lawyer. Thank you for being here this early. I was going to talk to you about norms and standards and ISO standards and JTC 21 work, but I kind of thrown it around the other day. I'm a lawyer, like I said. I've been working on digital topics like privacy, security, data collection, data usage by governments, algorithms and the legal issues when using them as a government for quite some time now, for about a decade and a half. And the past few years I've been working on the AI Act, on the AI Act itself, and then on standardization as well. So that's what I was going to talk about, and it's you're free to come over and have me talk about it for hours if you want. But I kind of changed my mind because... You missed one. Oh, you missed the differences. Okay, yeah, sorry, then you're just too slow. I mean, I really... It's a fast-paced world, sorry. But I was frustrated here, actually. So I'm a bit sad. You may not notice, but I'm a bit too young for the first internet bubble. So this AI thing going rogue is my first being somewhere in the middle of a huge bubble and working with it, and it's insane, and it's getting more insane by the minute. And I've had some talks here about Gen AI and how cool it is, and then we end up saying something about the big things, and then we leave it at that. So I was frustrated about that, and I decided to change my talk to actually starting to talk about some of the norms that we don't really talk about. So I don't think I need to tell you, but then there's AI, and then there's generative AI, and that's like this tiny speck. It's actually probably even tinier than this, but that's okay. And like we moved on from the whole AI talk to, well, there's Gen AI, and that's the coolest thing in the world, and all we need to do. And it's everywhere, and it's all over. It's in every talk. It's the only thing we think is AI, and that's really not true. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm just going to park the question of Gen AI and why it is useful or not. And I'm just going to check. It is fun. It exists. So therefore, we need it. Let's assume. I mean, we can still say a lot about that as well. Not going to do that today. Actually, Gen AI is what cats are for the internet. So we have this great thing going on, internet and connections. What do? We look at cats, which is obviously wonderful. So I want to talk about the pink elephant. So Gen AI may or may not have actual merit. It also has actual real costs. And these costs are not being reimbursed. They're not being addressed. And so I kind of framed it here as the theft of everything, which is obviously just, well, maybe it's true. Let's just assume that's true as well. So Gen AI is really quite an insatiable monster, and it needs a lot of resources. So it needs power, water, data, and it may get better, it may not. We really don't actually know. There are some companies and people saying that it will happen and it will all be just sun and flowers and everything will be wonderful. We're not there yet. So we need to work to get there, and we're not really doing that work. And we're not doing that work because we're not talking about the theft of the creative work that needs to go in there. We're not talking about the theft of the natural resources that we're doing and the space we're taking up. So we need to talk about that. Now, I'll come back to the elephants in a bit. But first, I want to go back to the fact that the AI revolution, the fourth industrial revolution, which is not AI, it's just digitalization and all of that, that is now AI, that is the fourth Industrial Revolution. Not saying that this is the fact, but that's kind of how it looks. And actually, we moved on that now it is Gen AI that is the fourth industrial revolution. Again, this is not my statement. This is not my fact. This is kind of how it works right now. And how companies see it, how governments see it, how all the people that have no clue what's going on think what is happening. And the question is why? Well, that's pretty easy, because of money. Big tech corporations do not work for us and do not work on Gen AI because the goodness of their hearts, or because they really like us, or they like humankind. It is because there is money to be made. And the business case for big tech companies right now is Gen AI. We need it in everything because it's not necessarily the best solution there is. It is the thing that they think is going to make them the money. So that's why we're getting it, and that's why we're pushing it everywhere. So there's two things to keep in mind there. For companies, the choice for Gen AI is because it justifies them raising the prices of their products. Right now, there's like no money to be made in Gen AI. I mean, we pay a little bit for it, but it's marginal. The investments are a lot higher. So they need to find a way to get that money back, because this is it's just an investment question. And now that that course has been set, there's a few companies saying, okay, so this is where we're going to go. The other ones have to come along, because, you know, if they may win, if it may work, then you also need to be involved, because that is where the money is being made. So right now, no real money has been made of Gen AI yet. It's being brought now to reconfigure this whole thing into things that we will be paying money for, or actually even more so, they're priming us to make sure that we think we really need it in everything, to think that we really need it to create our food, to build our roads. I'm going to tell you, ChatGPT is not going to create your food, and it's not going to build your roads. They need us to think that, so that they can sell it to us at higher and higher prices. So that's, I mean, and really, just this is just regular priming for like any topic. It's Gen AI now, but it could have been anything. It's for beauty products. It's why we get the makeover movies. It's if there's no real demand yet, you're going to create a frame, and the demand will start arising. So the business model has come up, but the resources needed to create the products are huge. Gen AI, to create the models, we need to feed it with man-made creation, stuff we made first, stuff we had fun making, stuff we took time making. And really, this is from Creative Commons, so you can use it up for grabs, but not to make money off it. Because if I put in the work and I want to share it, I want to, well, either do that for money, like the big companies, or just because it's fun to share my work and to change that. It's going to cost a hell of a lot of money to actually reimburse all the stealing. I'm actually deliberately calling this stealing. Again, I am a lawyer. We have laws on this. And in my opinion, they're pretty clear. The people that whose stuff's been brought into the models need to be reimbursed. Obviously, there's a big question of how do we do that? What would be fair? What would be reasonable? And the companies not wanting to pay us are telling us this question's too difficult. We cannot answer that question. Well, that is bullshit. I forgot my bullshit plate, but that is complete bullshit. Obviously, we can reimburse if we want. The law says that we should. Again, big tech's pretty big, and they have a lot of power, and they have a lot of people around that are in power, and they're trying to find a way not to have to do that. It's pretty much the same as with any exploitation. I kind of put in a remark about the plantations in South Africa or in South America and in the U.S. That was stealing of labor. We called it slavery. I mean. And that time, those owning the plantations went out to tell us that this was really okay, because these people weren't people. They were our property, so we could use them. Well, now this is maybe a bit stretched, but still, the principle is pretty much the same. I get your work. I don't want to pay pay you for it. So because then my product would not be as profitable as it is now. So just because you don't want to pay it, because the price is really high and your business model doesn't really add up, because we don't really want to pay all that money for them to be making this Gen AI thing that to do stuff for us that we actually can really easily do ourselves. But again, I was parking that issue. So does not mean that it's not still stealing and that maybe we should uphold that. Well, sorry, lawyer, uphold that law. We could do that. Then a similar issue comes up with the question of natural resources. So this is a picture from a Schneider report. That's the people making the stuff for the power plants. So this is a report, artificial intelligence and electricity, and this is their ideal scenario. This is where we would be using AI in basically everything we have, kind of like where we're going right now. So I want to ask you to look at the orange and the yellow lines. They're like the middle two lines. That's the Gen AI cost. The top lines are the total cost. That's what Gen AI costs to be used for power, for resources, for anything you need to actually do that. So that's a steep and that's a high line. The lower two ones is pretty much everything else in AI. That's all the rest of that puzzle is the bottom two lines. So if we talk about sustainability and AI, we're talking about sustainability of Gen AI and the fact that's being pushed into everything, and that is a problem. Not AI is a problem. There's lots of AI that can be made very sustainable, that can actually solve real problems. I mean, again, I kind of parked the question whether Gen AI is the answer or AI is the answer, but and we can do that. We can do that sustainable. Can we do Gen AI sustainable? We cannot do Gen AI sustainable if we're going to put it in everything. If we're going to have Google questions and being answered with AI, which is crappy, if we keep doing that, then we cannot do it sustainable. Well, now this is just the power question. I haven't actually talked about the mining. It is disgusting work. It is. It uses a lot of resources. We need to grab them from the ground. Well, it's not us doing that, so let's be really clear. It's the people in Africa doing that for really little money. Then there's the cooling water. This is a factory. This is the water coming out to cool the servers. This is not a data center, obviously, but the cooling water needs to come out. It heats up. It's a natural, it's an environmental problem, and we need lots of cooling water because we have lots of computers running. They get hot. Well, we all know that, and we need to cool them. And then there's the size of these enormous parks of data server factories. That is out here. I mean, not necessarily out here, but that's going to be our land where we could also build houses, actually grow food, maybe have a forest, a playground, have fun, have parties, have conferences, enjoy ourselves as human beings amongst ourselves. That space is being taken up by server space for factories. So we've been talking, I'm always kind of funny how the debate here in the Netherlands has been on clean energy, on the windmills, and how terribly ugly they are. And I'm very green, so I say, like, well, I actually kind of like the way they look. They look better than the factory outlets with the smoke fumes and everything. But then let's say they are ugly. These buildings are just as ugly, or maybe even uglier. So I'm kind of funny how this has not come to play. If you want to learn a little bit more about what's actually behind this. I just fell in love with Abigail Thorne. She's philosophy tube. And so I put this one in. It's AI is an Ethical Nightmare. It's a really good video. It's provocative. It's this crowd, so that's great. So they are real, the elephants. I want to go back to the elephants. So we have the elephant of stealing the creative work. We have the elephant of stealing nature, natural resources room. And basically, when I was here the other day, I heard a talk about Gen AI. Someone showed how cool it is to have real life changing of me into, well, he did Mr. Bean, I'm not sure who, me into Abigail Thorne. I would be so happy if I could do that. But anyway, that's all fun and that's all great. I mean, it's all cat movies on the internet, really. But then it's like there's a really big issue, and that issue is real. It is there. And then we move on to how cool it is. So I kind of get it, but I would like to not to. These are choices we're making. We can choose to put AI in everything where we definitely don't need it. Or we can say, well, maybe we should not, because it is too costly. And maybe we should ask for, okay, so now you know this is not going to happen. Maybe we should ask the companies for actually asking us the money they need to go and reimburse both the natural resources and the creative resources. This is not going to happen because we're not going to buy it. We're not going to want to pay it individually. But know that society is going to pay it. We are going to pay it, all of us, because nature is being depleted. We are so many creative people. Stuff is being stolen from us, and that will go on unless we make different choices. And I want to emphasize that the issues are real. Companies are trying to tell us, I talk to companies about this, I talk like a lot of places about this, and they try and gaslight us into, this is really not that big an issue. Yes, it is. The issues are real. We need to address them. We will not go and do that. We will fall into this trap. This is kind of the doom part of my talk. All world's going to go to hell anyway. But make sure you know, you're not crazy. The issues are real. And I also want you to know that if you feel that way, and if you see those issues, and you keep talking to people about it, and they say, well, okay, but you're overly critical, but it's really cool. But really, it's so cool, Gen AI. It's just so wonderful to do all this. You're not alone. There are more people that actually want to address this, that are actually worried about it. There are more people that do not want AI in everything. And we need to remember that. So please hold on, get together and try to address this. Final, joy is resistance and rest is resistance.
We have some questions.
AI companies, in order to keep their models functioning and reflecting the language we use, because language constantly changes, they need new human-created texts and data all the time. That's crucial for them being able to do anything of use. As you said, and I absolutely agree, that their business model does not support keep people doing this going forward. They're actively trying to kind of replace the people doing the creative work, yet they need the creative work to continue regardless to operate. So what would you suggest of steps going forward in a way, like what would need to change for it to even become remotely possible for their business model to continue and be sustainable in that way?
You're right. I mean, I haven't actually pointed that out, but it's not like as if these models are now done and then they will work forever and we're done stealing. We're not. We need to put in new stuff to make sure that it keeps running the way we want it to. And obviously, there's a case to be made that if this is a product that we like, and obviously, this is a product we like. It may not be useful. It may not be perfect. We like it. So there may be a market for it. We may be using it a little bit. Then you could make a product that might be sustainable if you still have creators that would be willing to contribute their work to it, either in return of payment or because they believe in this creation. But that only works if we keep it small and just fun. I'm not sure if that's really the right term, but and not use it for stuff we don't really, and not use Gen AI for, say, an email that I'm sending to my team where I just write the three words, and then my team is going to get my email, which says, well, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful presentation. You've done all done such a good job. I'm so happy to see you guys, and blah, 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 blah. And then the agents already make like an answer back, and then I answer back. And then we have five emails going up and down, and no one's been talking to each other. If we put Gen AI with all this resources in stuff like that, it's just not making sense. So that's kind of the caveat. That's the problem. We're not going to do it because the money is not going to be made from us who think it's fun. It's going to be made from us having to buy it in everything. And then a little side note on the creator's work. I mean, if we're going to use it in everything, we're going to be de-skilling. So we're going to lose skills. We're going to lose people. I'm very positive about mankind. I think we're always going to create things. We're always going to make things outside of all this. So we won't lose that skill, but we'll have less of them, and maybe it will be less in school. It will be so we are losing something there that we need to retrain, I guess, if we want to do it on a bigger scale. But I'm not sure if there's a real viable business model other than pushing it in every. This is a very difficult question because there's a lot of money involved, and that kind of makes all the choices shady.
Perhaps in addition to what you said, I know a lot of people of us know Aaron Schwartz, the well-known activist who captured all the scientific papers, grabbed them and put him free on the internet. If your vision, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just an idealist and something like this, which means the question is it stealing what they have done? We can have both answers. If we say it is stealing, then we have to go with the same energy to these companies, like it was done to Aaron back in the days. Or we say, no, nowadays it's okay, but then the result is that information is free, and also all the information customer get out of the system has also to be free, which will lead to the result that there is no business model anymore.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting point you make. Well, you said Aaron Schwartz. We can say Napster as well. Like, we've done all this. We've been scraping. We've been exchanging our files. I've been doing that back in the days. And we were prosecuted. Well, I wasn't prosecuted, thank heavens, but many were. Many people were. There were big cases. Someone died. And now companies are doing it, and now we're kind of looking away because we say, well, it's too big, and the question's too big, and they are too cool. Do you know Elon Musk? He's a really cool guy. I was next to him the other day. He was so cool. He's going to save the world. That's kind of, that's all just, well, where's my bullshit plate again? I mean, that's all just, yeah. And the point is, the other solution you gave is kind of interesting. It's like, if we're going to take it for free, then maybe we should give it back for free to everyone. And then there's no business model as well. But that's kind of like the same issues with open source software. And there, all the interaction that is there, that is around that, of politics, of companies, of monopolies wanting to hold something for themselves, that's the same discussion going on. So I'm pretty pessimistic there, but you know, still, you are not alone. I am not alone. We are not alone. Together, we can keep raising this issue and try and find ways around it.
Hi, I was just, this might be beyond the scope of this talk, but I was wondering if there's any discussion on who's responsible for when these models go wrong and hurt people. Like for generative AI, when they tell someone to mix a chemical together and it kills them, or even for self-driving cars, if they make a mistake and cause harm to other people, is it the companies responsible, or is it the user responsible for not knowing better?
Well, we don't know yet. I can give you an answer, but I think, and I guess you can guess where the answer should go. Well, part of the deal here is that's where my job is interesting, is we don't have the answers yet in a legal sense, because we haven't been suing the companies enough. We need more cases. We need people going to court over these issues. There have been many copyright cases. The OpenAI has, at several of the bigger model making companies have been sued, but the people have been paid off. I mean, I get it. You can't get there with your case. You go to court. Someone offers you 100,000 euros. You're like, okay, well, you know, thank you so much. That's more than I could have made the other day. Or I mean, I have no clue about the numbers in that world. But I mean, they have to have been paid off. And I mean, and that's just how that works. But we need people like Schrems did in the privacy case. We need people, we need NGOs to go to court and actually start addressing this issue and asking the judge to reimburse them, or for companies to take responsibility and judges. I think the law is in place to do that, but we're gonna have to, I mean, they're paying off. Why are companies paying millions to people suing them for the theft of their creative work? Because they kinda know that when they go to court, they're probably going to have to pay. And if they pay the one, they're going to have to pay all of them. And they really don't want to do that. So the sum is easy. Either pay all of your money to all of the creators whom you've stolen from, or just pay the one who's actually brave enough and busy enough to step up a little bit of that money and make sure the problem goes away. So we need cases. And there again, you are not alone. We have to do this together. We have to support the NGOs building the cases. We have to support the digital rights movements out there that are grabbing the material and making these cases and go forward.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I think this bridges really well with my question, because I was going to ask you, being a lawyer, about the case law. Because in fact, we have, you know, most of the case law happens in the US, but we have now the first European case in the European Court of Justice, this company at Hungary called Like Company that has sued to Google for one of the Gemini systems models being, well, kind of released in part of their articles. And, well, the definitive decision is not there, but I was wondering, since now we have in Europe one case, and this could have a really big impact in innovation, or rights of artists, of course, and right holders. So what is your take on that? What are your expectations? What do you think the judge is going to decide in this case?
Oh, I hope so much that the judge is actually going to give a ruling that will be worthwhile, that we can use. There's risks of them not daring to do that yet. It kind of depends so much about what is actually asked, but yeah, I do hope that there's going to be a ruling that says, well, okay, you cannot just take these articles. It is, however, if a judge says so, it's going to be a Hungarian judge first, and then it's going to move on to the European Court. So it's going to be years before we have an actual answer. Oh, they've asked questions. Yeah, but we're going to have to see. But if the ruling comes out that that people should be reimbursed for having their work being uploaded to models, that's going to raise a lot of new questions. How are you going to get your money? How are you going to prove that? Though we have, looking back, there have been lists. I mean, in the beginning, companies have been handing out lists. We've been using your material when they were still a little bit more open about it, but that's changing fast. So there's a lot of questions towards proof, but it's a snowball that needs to start running, and then we'll see where it goes. I don't know.
In addition to the two points you made about the theft of everything and the natural costs, I'm also very concerned about sort of a third cost. It's the de-skilling of an entire generation. As a security professional, I look forward to continued employment of finding vibe-coded vulnerabilities. But I'm terrified that we won't have a generation of junior developers who understand systems and who are able to write or design good architectures moving forwards. And I hear this also from educators about folks who are using it to write their essays. So I'm wondering, do you think there's some regulation, sort of like we have for gambling and tobacco and alcohol, to try to place age limits or usage limits on these sorts of technologies?
I don't think we have any rules like that. I'm not sure if we need them. But no, I think the point you make, obviously, is very true as well. But at least at that point, our de-skilling, because it's all of us, all of our de-skilling, we do have a choice. We can choose to learn this. It was kind of funny because here in the Netherlands, when it just came out and everybody kept saying, well, this is really easy for all the lawyers because now all your newbies don't have to write all the cases. Actually, the overarching committee said, No, we definitely want them to write all these cases to do the scut work because that's how they learn. They need to do the scut work to get to where we are as senior lawyers. So we don't want AI to come in and do that work because then we'll lose education material for our youngsters. And that's kind of a big part of the problem. And at least we can do something about that ourselves. We can choose not to de-skill. Obviously, there's also a system, and it's going to be difficult as well, but we can choose not to do that. It's a lot harder to choose not to have the resources depleted for Google to give me an answer with AI, even though I don't want that. I can want to be coding instead of vibe coding. I can want to write my own material. I can want to make my own presentation instead of asking an AI. So there's more room. The point you're making is valid, and it's also a really big problem. I feel more power to do something about that myself. And as to the sustainability issue and the creative work theft, I have so little to do myself. And that was kind of what I wanted to say today with this talk, is like, even though it's so hard as an individual to do anything about it, it's still a real issue that we need to consider. And we have to support those that are doing something about it.
You actually brought this to the question I was going to kind of ask of, there are many, many real issues with generative AI industry, that they are making up the rules that fit them to make it a business. If they would have to play by the rules, it would not be viable. And at this time, because the hype is so strong, if you go against it, it's you're a Luddite. You just don't see the progress. That's kind of where it goes. So my question is what can and should individuals and groups do to, in a way, resist? What are the, like, the concrete active things people can do to kind of say, this is not okay? And like, we like the rules and their regulation, like, you know, you cannot steal everything off the internet. Like, they're not even things that, like, some people think that just because it's AI, there's no regulation on it. Now I need the bullshit sign. There's a lot of it. It's covered. What can we do as individuals or groups to make our case and not let the narrative of this is inevitable, these rules are inevitable, this is how it needs to go? How do we say, no, actually, let's discuss this, let's rethink this?
I think that's a very big question, but I think one of the words you just used, we have to remember that it is not, it's not a force of nature. AI in our products is not something that is inevitable or that had to happen, like when I stumble, I will fall. It is not gravity. It is a choice to do this. And we have to remember telling ourselves and each other that that choice is actively being made now by a few tech companies to do this. And even though it is too hard to oppose that, and even though our group is too small to actually go and oppose that, and right now the world is in such a state that it's even harder to start opposing that. It is still happening. It was a choice. It was deliberate, and it should not have happened. And now it did, and then we'll just pick up the pieces. Once again, we will pick up the pieces. But that's the same of, like, many of the environmental things. It's the same of wars. It's the same of, this is what we do to each other. That's why this is a really big question. It fits in with the system we have. And I think that system is wrong. But I'm not here to have my political talk about the system. And you haven't got your bingo yet, because I haven't yet mentioned it. Now, obviously, there's a really big question about sharing. Do we share our world, or is it up for grabs for some? Well, I have a very clear opinion. We should share. I'm not the one in power, and I'm not the one with the money. So, okay.
Now, look, I don't think we should share everything. I like your question, and it triggers me to think, well, it can start already with us, ourselves, and in the start where we are creative. I mean, if you put it in open source, it's a choice. But if you're really a creative person and you are, for example, creating paintings or something like that, which is digital, you can protect it. So it's not usable for AI as input, as data. So you can make that choice that your creative work is not available for generative AI as input. You can do that.
Yeah, that's, well, in a, that's true. We can do things. I was planning, and I ended up not doing that, actually, on having like a workshop on getting together and brainstorming about alternative prospects for this thing. Not structured, very out of the box. I mean, think of everything we can think of. What's the pictures we're going to paint of a world with AI in a good way, or in the way that we do like it? How can we make jobs that involve this work that we do like to do? Because there's stuff to be get there. But we're going to have to write and make it ourselves. So I ended up not having the time. So maybe next conference, maybe sometime in the future. And I think maybe doing that work and doing, talking about alternatives is also very important.
Briefly, very brief comment. I know I've taken more time than I should, but there are options. Like, you can make your work protected in a way that if AI companies then scrape it and load it, it will actually break the models instead of making them better. You can also go technically, you can go local, you can do it on your own device in a way that does not benefit these few companies in any way. There are things, and I think we need to start gathering these ideas somewhere to let the people who are worried kind of know this is what we can do, so we're not...
I see someone very frustrated behind you who really wants to respond to this, and I'm very curious now to what she has to say.
How do you do that? And how tech savvy do you have to be to know how to, if I want to just share some drawings online with, so my friends can see them, or so that I can find people who might want to buy them, how do I then not make them just scrapable from the internet? I don't know how to do that, and I don't know how many people who are artists know how to do that. And I think having it be personal responsibility to protect yourself from AI, that you have to be this smart and this knowledgeable in order to do it, is maybe not the best way to go. Policy protects everyone, whereas this individual responsibility thing leaves a lot of people vulnerable.
No, I think that's a very good point, and that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to address this issue, because it's not just about what we as individuals can do. You can do stuff, well, lovely, but it's also the system behind it that makes it really hard for us to actually do that. For me, but then again, I'm a lawyer, it starts with acknowledging the fact that we already have rules on this, that we already have rules on stealing, already have rules on Creative Commons licenses, and that they are being being broken. And someone needs to go to court, or politicians have to write a law, or they have the law. They just have to say, okay, screw that. You should not be doing that, OpenAI, period. Done. No more discussion. We need, I don't know what organization, but they're not doing that. So I would love for governments to do that and go to OpenAI and say, this is unfair market, whatever. This is not my area of field of law, but let them think of anything. But that's not where the profit for the politicians is. And that's not where the profit for, so it's very much, I'm really going to system issues, but it's a political talk. But I agree, it should not be so hard.
Nelleke, thank you very much for your views on the legal part. I would bring in a more historical view of power structures in the past and probably in the future. Now, for instance, we've outlived the Roman Empire. It came up and it broke down. And now we are in a tech power age. And I think it comes up, and it also will break down to other things. And I think it's a good way to look at how these past power structures dealt with probably the same problems as we're talking about here, because everything with power is still valid, I think, in this tech-savvy world. So looking from a historical perspective, and I don't expect you to give an answer on this now, because I know you're a lawyer and not an historian. But I think this broader view on having a look at how things will develop is also very interesting.
Absolutely true. I think we're going to have to wrap this up because I'm way over time. But it's so true. But we know what to do, and we have to start doing it. It's stepping up to the powers that are, if they get too unfair, is actually doing it. And that starts with knowing this. You are not the only one doing it, because power comes up and tries to divide us and tries to make sure that it stays in power, that it gets all the money, and that we start working for it to get back to where we were before, or to get to something better. We need to also be cooperating on a grassroots level and all the way through to make sure that it changes. And we need to can lie down and say, okay, it's so bad. And sometimes we do. I mean, I have mornings. You've seen me last night. Yesterday, I was just lying down. I did nothing. But, you know, but we have to step up again and start working together and make sure that this word is out. So, and go talk to politicians. Go make sure that they understand what they need to do. Tell them you need to make this rule. This law's already there. You accorded that law. That means you have to give me the power to protect my pictures online easier. You're going to have to make that rule, politician or whatever. And we need to start doing that, because if we just lay down and wait for it to blow over, then it's just going to get bigger. So we need to step up and make sure it doesn't blow over. And that's long, tedious, tiring. So that's why I said joy is resistance, rest is resistance. It's tedious, it's tiring, it's horrible. Make a lot of fun, have a lot of fun doing it. Make parties, get together, brainstorm. And in the meantime, start opposing.
Oh, well, I think it's just, thank you very much. We could have a whole conference on this, couldn't we? And you're talking in 2029 on healthy living, given that you've outlived the Roman Empire. That's pretty impressive, yeah. So, thank you very much
again.
Amazing. Thanks.